Hey, it's Cole Swindell. After I give everything I've got to land a perfect vocal, I usually take five before jumping into the next track. And I've learned exactly how to recharge in that time. Some folks grab coffee. I hit a quick good luck spin. Next thing you know, the break is just as fun as laying down the track. A better break makes for a better take. Need a break? Let's chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus TNC supply. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
It's time for the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
When the world was a time of this and that, I was young, didn't know to hold it back. Now we're here in the world, something else. We can leave any day, call for help. We were gods, nobody was above me. The A on my chest like a Dolce. The A on my chest, put your fist up. The A on my chest like a chipmunk. Alvin, Theodore, breathe in, breathe out. Me and more, breathe in, breathe out. Never mind, it was time. Number nine, let me lie. Feline, with a death wish. Be right, didn't have no name on a guest list. Hold on, we're destined.
Welcome into the show. It was a quiet night if you only care about local sports. There's another story involving Alex Bregman, and MLB executives don't believe he'll be an Astro, which falls in line with what we think. We'll get to that in a little bit, but I did want to get to some of the things we didn't get to regarding the Texans game. Yes, they won, but I started the show talking about the physicality of that Texas defense, and we didn't get much into that because, as you know, the show devolves into whatever it devolves into. But I was thinking about this today. I don't know if this defense has been more physical, or any defense has been more physical in Texans history. That is DeMeco Ryan's mindset. But even the J.J. Watt, Jonathan Joseph defenses, they were good, but they didn't punish people, and sometimes their own teammates, like this one does. The Kamari Lassiter concussion from Jimmy Ward aside, they hit people. And Jalen Petrie's been a big part of that. And he has his flaws. Namely, anytime he has to cover anyone more than 10 yards down the field, there's problems there. But for what he does, what they should ask him to do, and what he does well, he's really good at it. He got penalized for the hit on Monday. It wasn't an illegal hit, despite the flag. And he has been part of kind of the physical transformation of this defense, not only just different body types, but the way they play. Him and Azeez Al-Shehr is another one of those guys. So their linebacker, their middle linebacker, and you want to call them a box safety, those guys are enforcers. And you see it kind of throughout the team. Guys want to hit people. Sure, you have your ball hawks like Stingley and Bullock, but I don't know if there's anyone on the Texans who turns down a hit, even if it means taking out one of your own. So I didn't want to play this sound from Jalen Petrie. I think it was Aaron Wilson who was talking to him on Monday night about the hit that got the flag, and really just his physicality and what he brings to the table.
A hard-hitting performance by you. Were you trying to set a tone? Obviously, it's the way you play, but did you want to send a message a little bit?
For sure. Every time, you know, that's the mentality of this team, of this defense, is to send a message every time we out there, you know, to make plays and to impact the game. And I think for the most part, as a team, you know, we did that today.
Physical football play. We saw you lead with the shoulder. What was your take on kind of the tackle you made?
Yeah, I'm just trying to keep it as, what's the word I want to use? Legal as possible,
yeah.
But still, you know, deliver the blow for sure. But definitely trying to lead with the shoulder, keep the head out of it, and make sure that I'm not, you know, having any helmet-to-helmet contact.
Crazy play, Derek Ornette, he strips it. Then you force a fumble on a big offensive lineman.
Mm-hmm.
Then he scores, which I'm not sure if that's ever happened in football history before.
Yeah, that's my dog, man. He shows up every day ready to work, and, you know, I'm just feeding off his energy. You know, like you said, he got the strip sack, wonderful rush, and then, you know, I was just running to the ball because I thought I was going to super score it. Then he ended up with it, and then, you know, know, it just happened. It was just like hit him and it came out, and then he scooped and scored. Looked pretty athletic on that one too, for sure.
All right, Aaron Wilson, the author of 10 Toes Down, when talking to Stephon Diggs. I think it's happened before. It was a great play, but I'm not going to put in the category of never seen before. I'm not going to give the Texans that.
Yeah, I've seen Tuesday night action before. I've
yeah.
seen
a, the, things I've, like, things like that have happened before.
I've seen a dumb play like that.
I've seen enough football to know that those plays happen, but it was a great play. We talked about it yesterday. That play, the Derek Barnett touchdown, put the game away, and they went on to win that game easily. It didn't change Michael Parsons from saying that the Cowboys are a pretty damn good football team. I'm like, excuse me. I don't always prescribe to your record. You are what your record says you are, because strength of schedule can matter, who you're playing, and your injuries can matter. But the Cowboys are 3-7, and injuries have taken hold. But they weren't good when they're healthy. I don't know what he's talking about. He's just out there talking. Like, he's got a podcast. You're just out there talking.
Hey, it's a podcast.
Yeah.
Gotta say something.
I'm not going to accept that I'm on a bad football team. Understood. No one wants to believe that they're on a bad football team. And then you get to a point, I would think, 10 games into the year, where you're like, oh, yeah, we're on a bad football team. This is a bad football team that I'm on. But Micah Parsons may be a little delusional, or maybe, as we said, just talking on the podcast. So that's kind of the fallout from the game, other than the speculation about Mike McCarthy. But that's been there since almost, it felt like, 2 years in, despite the fact that he's always winning 12 games, except for this year. Well, that's a double-digit win team under him. Doesn't matter. For the playoffs, and it doesn't matter this year, they are bad, bad. Okay, so the Texans will be, I think they're back at practice today, so if anything pops up between now and the end of the show, we'll get to that. But they have the Titans on Sunday, which should be another comfortable win. But I think the Titans will put up a better effort than the Cowboys. The Cowboys have quit. The Titans are bad, but they try. Their last game, they competed with Minnesota, just not good enough, and I think it'll go the same way here against the Texans. They'll compete, they just won't be good enough, and the Texans should get that one too. Okay, what else happened? We had the Cavs going down to the Celtics, which is unfortunate, because who wants the Celtics to win anything? But also the CFP. We had the latest rankings, and I don't think I disagree with anything that happened yesterday. I mean, I don't know why Alabama jumps anyone when they played Mercer, but hey, they have another data point. Well, some teams don't. So you give them an extra spot beyond what they were going to get because Tennessee and BYU lost. But now it's for a week, but Boise State can believe that they may get a bye. I don't think it's likely. And we probably didn't do a great job of mentioning that the Big 12 is pretty open with BYU going to Arizona State. Arizona State well in the race. They have a real shot to get to the Big 12 title game. We kind of just penciled in Colorado and BYU, but Arizona State's right there. They beat BYU. Now they're on track. So there, that leads me to think about who could win the Big 12 and not jump Boise State. Could Arizona State, after potentially beating BYU and then Colorado, sit behind Boise State if Boise State wins out? You look at Boise State's schedule the rest of the way, and really what they've done so far. They have a win over a top 25 Washington State team. They have the close loss to Oregon, where they played them to within three in Eugene, and then they have one more win where they beat UNLV, who's a top 25 team. So Boise State right now, if you just go by the rankings without getting into power ratings and all that stuff, they have two top 25 wins, and no one has played Oregon closer than them than, I guess, Ohio State. I don't remember the final score of that game, but I know Ohio State had a field goal to win, so I guess Ohio State may have played them within two, and Boise State played Oregon within three. So would it be justified? Would the Big 12 champion be justified in jumping this Boise State team? I don't know. I thought it was a definite, but when I start to look at their schedule and who they've played and who they've beaten and how they played, maybe not. They obviously have to finish strong. Beyond just winning, they have to be very impressive. Right now, they are the four seed with Miami the three. Obviously, these are projections because the seeds go to, or the buys go to teams who win their conference. And then you have Texas, and then you have Oregon. So I'll ask you this, Sean. After talking, we talked about it. Do you think there's any chance that Boise State does get their bye, or are they locked in if they win their conference to, at this point, would still be going on the road if they don't get a bye?
I think they have a chance. What they need is like the whoever wins the Big 12 this week to lose. So whoever eventually is going to win the Big 12 to have an extra loss on them.
I see that.
So if Colorado loses to Kansas or something and then turns around and wins the Big 12 against either BYU or Arizona State, that is what they kind of need. They need more carnage in the Big 12 rankings. And yeah, other than that, I think if whoever wins the Big 12 wins out, even if it is Arizona State, I don't know if there's a team lower that can win out that controls their own destiny like that. But if Arizona State wins out, I would expect them to pass BYU just because they would have, two top 20 wins in the last 3 weeks?
Yeah, recency bias will play
a huge
part.
Just shoot up because, they play BYU this week, who's 14. Maybe. They win, they're going to probably get around Colorado range. And if they beat Colorado, then they'll move up even more.
Yeah, I still think it's a...
It's a chance, but...
It'll be tough.
If anything, it says a lot about the Big 12 that we're not sure that the committee would screw over a Group of Five team for the Big 12.
Well, the brand matters, and the brands of Arizona State, Boise State, the brands of Arizona State, BYU, and Colorado aren't great. It's not what the Big 12 has been used to with Oklahoma and Texas. We wouldn't even be questioning this if those two teams had a chance to win the conference. Instead, it's two new members. Actually, it's all three of them are new. What shout out to the Big 12 for letting three new teams come in and be at the top of your conference. Although Colorado spent plenty of time in the Big 12 in the past, but they went to the Pac-12. You know the history. Now they're back, and they've got a shot to win that conference in the first year back. So, the outrage will continue from the SEC. I guess because they don't understand that it's just a product of Georgia losing to Ole Miss and Alabama, and those two teams ahead of them having two losses, and the committee is willing to keep two lost teams below one lost teams. But how could Georgia be below this team or that team? Well, don't blame. Although Alabama did jump Miami, but don't blame the committee for Georgia losing to two teams that the committee thinks highly of. And there's no way the committee won't if the committee won't put Ole Miss ahead of Miami, then they won't put Georgia ahead of them. But they did Alabama because I guess beating Mercer was enough. You put a 45 spot up on Mercer, you get to rise up the rankings. Georgia had to stay behind Ole Miss because Ole Miss didn't have a data point where they could rise up above some of the teams that they're below. So Georgia's comfortably in at 10. Not guaranteed to win their conference. That is a mess. We discussed the disaster scenario of at least the chaos scenario of A&M losing this week and then beating Texas, and now you have six two lost teams and how the tiebreakers work. I didn't really foresee a way that A&M or Texas, one of them wouldn't be in the the SEC title game until I thought to myself, A&M could go into Auburn and lose. It's part of their DNA to lose that game. You might want to get mad at me, but just look at the history. It's part of their DNA to lose that game for whatever reason. And then jump up and beat Texas. It would be the Aggie thing to do.
Yeah.
So, and then we got complete chaos. We're talking about like opponent, how you fared against like opponents. And eventually the last one is they just look at your overall SEC schedule and see how tough it was. Texas would not win that battle. They just have not played enough of the good SEC teams. I'm not saying it's your fault. It's
just how Oklahoma broke.
Well, sorry, Oklahoma let you down. Sorry.
Sorry.
It's not Texas. It's not the fault of the Longhorns. It's just how it is. The opponents that they have faced in the SEC have not been good. They better avoid a tiebreaker scenario. They don't want to get into tiebreakers because it gets sticky for them at that point.
No. Normally I have a pretty strong stance of don't tell me the tiebreakers until the last day of the season.
Sure.
Because it's always, you need so many things, so many dominoes have to fall in the right spot to where it feels like a waste of time most of the time to be like, if this happens and this happens, when there's like four games left, It's like, well, chances are most of the stuff isn't going to happen. And a lot of times it works itself out. Now we're getting to the point where this might not work itself out, guys.
This really might not work itself out. All it takes is for the Aggies to be the Aggies. And then for Texas to go into a hostile place where the Aggies' season is on the line and go in there and win.
Texas' season is also on the line.
Yes, understood. But it's a different – no matter what. But it would – the Aggies could probably convince themselves if they beat Auburn, even a loss to Texas gives them a real shot. Possibly, but unlikely. But they lose – all their hopes would be pinned on winning that game.
Yeah.
So they have. So they would have to win it. It's probably the same scenario plays out whether they beat Auburn or not. But, you know, you're coming off a loss, angry, everyone's counting them out, all the stuff that Aggies lean into when they want to get an upset going. So it'll be hostile no matter what. It could mean everything for both teams. It could be a winning you're in or losing you out. But I don't think they're losing to Auburn, but would not surprise me if the Aggies did.
And Texas needs to beat Kentucky. We're not overlooking Kentucky.
I am, because I'm not a Texas person.
We are not.
But you're not overlooking Kentucky.
My focus is 100% on which team is it? Kentucky. Basketball.
If you don't know what we're talking about, what Sean is talking about, yesterday Mike Elko was asked about the potential for the big game with the series and the rivalry coming back, the big game of A&M in Texas. And he was asked, how we've been built, how we approach things. We are focused on our next opponent, and we are not being distracted, and we are deadly locked in on Texas. I mean, Auburn. That's what happened in this presser yesterday. I think it's just a slip of the tongue, but it was funny.
It was very funny.
It was funny.
It is like the last thing you can do. Just don't say that part.
Don't say Texas. But that is a couple weeks away. Those two teams do have big games in terms of staying on track for the biggest game in a couple weeks. So, and you'll hear that game right here on ESPN 97.5. The Longhorns heading into College Station to take on the Aggies at Kyle Field. Okay, so the playoffs as it stands right now, you are looking at four Big Ten teams in the top five. Notre Dame is in there. And, of course, the SEC with Ole Miss and Georgia and Tennessee are hanging around. Tennessee, the first team out as it stands right now. And, of course, Texas at the top of the heap of the SEC being ranked third in the rankings. But a lot of things can change. And I'm not even looking for chaos. I'm just looking for fun. Even if the teams that should win, I want them to be spooked. I want Sean to be throwing his long Bevo hat in the middle of the third quarter against Kentucky.
Yeah, I don't want that.
I do.
It's foam.
I do. It's not going to break. It's foam. I do.
Fun, the horns is kind of.
It's already a little damaged.
Yeah, it's a little damaged.
Yeah.
Having to wear it so much.
I want you to come in here next Friday. We're not going to be here Friday, no. So it doesn't work out. And you're taking the three days off before then next week,
yeah,
right?
This
Friday is your last day before.
Until, like, December.
Yeah. Sean is taking advantage of his days. So I need you to give that Bevo hat to AJ or Sam to wear. For them to wear it on the days they fill in, just so I know that the Texas presence is still strong. Just leave it here on Friday, and we'll just make sure. Nah, it's dangerous. Someone might take it.
Someone will definitely take it. Lance will take it.
Yeah. Unfortunately, it's not going to work out for me that the Bevo hat won't make an appearance leading up to the game between A&M and Texas. It's unfortunate.
I don't think anyone else would wear it.
We wouldn't wear it. We might just.
Oh, just have it like as a, yeah, I as might, a memento?
Yeah. I mean, just have it in view for that camera in there. Just,
like right here?
Yeah. So everyone knows. Just remember, Sean may not be with us right now.
In spirit.
But he's always with us in spirit. Yes.
With the obnoxious hat. It's
best hat I've seen in a long, long time. All right. We will get out of here. But before we do that, Sean's going to tell you about Prize Picks.
Yes, Prize Picks, America's number one daily fantasy sports app. And you can get on in the action really at any time. I don't know what you're waiting for. I mean, they have stuff all the time on the app. All you have to do is you download it, you go, and hey, it's a Tuesday night, or it's a Wednesday night. Whoops. It's a Wednesday night, so there's going to be basketball, of course, college, pro. There's going to be some action on tonight. There's going to be anything you want, NHL, soccer, whatever, tennis, MMA, women's college basketball, whatever you want, Prize Picks has it. All you got to do is you go to the app, you download the Prize Picks app, and use promo code MAPES to get $50 instantly when you play your first $5 lineup. That's promo code MAPES for $50 instantly when you play your first $5 lineup. Prize Picks, run your game.
Kane is in the building.
This is the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
We'll give away tickets to the Cougs and Baylor. I think we got tickets to give away today. And sticking with the Cougars, well, at least their former coach, Tom Herman, got fired. Tom Herman fired from Boca Raton. They said, get out of Boca Raton. He used to be the coach of Florida Atlantic. Not anymore. His run did not go well. And a lot of Cougar fans are talking about how, hey, you leave us, things go poorly for you. From Kevin Sumlin and now Tom Herman. Just hasn't been a good run for former Cougar coaches. But you can say the same about Texas coaches. Charlie Strong didn't do well after he left. Tom Herman's the latest who didn't do well. Mack Brown's been okay at North Carolina. Hanging on. They've bounced back since struggling really early this year. So Mack may be back if he wants to be back next year. But I don't know if it's the curse of the Cougs or the curse of the Longhorns, or maybe, hey, if you hire a bad coach, they're going to be a bad coach someplace else. Whatever that might be. That might be the correlation as opposed to, hey, they just happen to be at your school. And then they went someplace else. Maybe they just aren't that good at doing the whole coaching thing.
Maybe these unsuccessful hires at Texas were also unsuccessful at other places.
Yes, because you shouldn't have hired them in the first place.
Yeah.
The Cougs will say they won here. They just couldn't win anywhere else. Maybe.
You won with the Levine's players.
Ooh. That's one way to put it. Sumlin, you can't really use that.
No, not Sumlin.
No. Sumlin is probably the only relevance to Aggie football except for that 2020 COVID year since they've been in the SEC. So as poorly as it eventually went for Sumlin.
Whose players did he win with?
Sherman's.
Yeah. Sherman's
players. Yeah. Johnny Manziel was not a Kevin Sumlin recruit.
Nope.
He was not. Mike Evans, not either. So.
He won Cliff Kingsbury's players. If we're being real, like if we're just talking about who's been successful after their meteoric rise.
Local guys, or at least coaches who coached here in the city, who has had the most success after leaving? Like Dana was an OC.
Yeah, Holgerson's a good one.
Went to left West Virginia to come here, and obviously it didn't go well. Art Briles, Baylor, went well until it didn't.
Yeah. Hate to hand it to him, but he
he was great.
he was a great coach.
Until the other stuff happened.
Yeah.
So I think the legacy is
Briles number one.
Briles clearly the number one.
Okay. We're a Briles number one.
There's a giant asterisk next to Briles, but sure, as a coach on the field, did a good job after leaving Houston. Everyone else? The argument, I won't even make the argument that they should have stayed because the money that they got for leaving. Like Sumlin, there's no argument to say Sumlin should have stayed. Look at all the money. Even failing at Arizona and everywhere else, he's the OC now. Is he at Maryland? No, that's Josh Gattis. He's an OC somewhere, I think.
I thought he was at Maryland.
Is he? Maybe they're both there, Kevin Sumlin and Josh Gattis. But you take the money.
Yeah, 100%. Because you don't want when it's your time to move up, it's your time to move up. Like when you're the hot group of five candidate, a lot of times that's as good as it's going to get.
Yeah.
And then you take, I mean, that's why people do it. You take the job and figure it out from there.
Sure.
Because there's no guarantee that if you wait around that the next time a Texas A&M, a Texas, one of these big schools open, LSU, whatever, there's no guarantee that you'll be the guy the next time around, too. Ask Matt Campbell.
Hell, ask Bobby Slowick.
Well, he...
Maybe he should have took a job last offseason.
I don't know if he was offered the job last year.
That's possibly the case. We know Ben Johnson had a lot of interest in the state, and it's working out for him. He's fine. He will get his opportunity if he wants one.
It's a little different when you're a coordinator.
That's true. I bring all that up mostly to get to this. Apparently, Ray Lewis is a candidate for the FAU job.
When it's time, it's time.
I don't know any coaching he's done.
He's been waiting around,
waiting for the opportunity, waiting for Boca Raton to come calling. So, yes, the former Raven legendary linebacker, Hall of Famer, is a candidate for that job. And I'm not sure what he has in his resume. Has he ever coached anywhere? I don't think Ray Lewis has put on a polo and a hat to coach anywhere. And yet, this is the Deion Sanders effect, right? I mean, Ed Reed.
I was going to say, didn't Ed Reed also
For like a day. And then he ripped.
Spectacular failure.
And then he ripped everything that was going on. They had to get rid of him. But Ed Reed had been on a staff, I think.
Yeah, wasn't he on a Miami staff?
I don't know if he had an official title as a coach or he was like an analyst or something. I forgot.
Chief of swag or something.
No, we saved that stuff for Austin, okay? It's a ridiculous name for celebrities to get jobs. I don't remember exactly what Ed Reed was doing there. At first he was like a GM, but not like a real GM.
Before that term had like actual meaning.
It had started already, but he wasn't doing the thing that those guys typically did. He wasn't doing all the administrative stuff. While you joke about him being some type of swag coach, that's pretty much what he was, but they gave him a different title.
No, that was what he was.
Yes.
I don't know what his title is. Probably like chief of staff.
Chief of staff was his title.
The president.
He wasn't a general manager. He was the Miami Hurricanes chief of staff for Manny Diaz.
Chief of swag. Same thing.
Might as well. He was supposed to impart the knowledge to let all those kids know what it used to be like and how you could do it again.
Hey, so when I was going up against Peyton Manning, what I would do is for one game, I'd do all the wrong stuff.
And trick him.
Just to trick him on one play.
Yeah.
I'd get the interception.
So I need you to do that against Sam Hartman and see if it works for you.
It's like, I'm also way worse than you, Ed Reed.
Which is always a thing. Stop asking Hall of Famers to coach your players. They are going to expect things that those players are incapable of doing just because they used to be able to do it.
I'm a 4-star from Fort Lauderdale. There's no way I can do
that. Well, Ed Reed will tell you I was a 2-star from Louisiana. Look what I became.
Mm.
That's part of the story. That's part of the mystique, too. Of course, it was a time before recruiting was really recruiting, so now Ed Reed wouldn't have fallen through the cracks, but he did.
He would have just been a starter at LSU.
Yeah, he just would have went to LSU. Yeah, that would have been his life. Wouldn't have got out of the boot. So Ray Lewis, a candidate. Good luck, FAU.
I like it.
I don't mind it.
Sure. Whatever. Is he going to do the little shuffle?
Is it the cricket dance? Is that what he calls it?
I forgot what he calls
it. I don't know if he's going to be introduced before every game, but I think
just leading him out
at his initial presser, do you think he should do it?
I don't know if he should, but he probably will.
I would say don't do it if you're wearing a suit. If you're wearing FAU issued gear and you want to do it, fine. But if you got one of your suits on, don't do the cricket dance, whatever he calls it. So I'm looking forward to the Ray Lewis experience. The Ray Lewis experience at FAU.
Does he have sons that are really good at football?
He had a son who was bad at football and then passed away. Well, not bad. He was given a scholarship at Miami because he's Ray Lewis's kid. He was a okay high school football player. I think Ray Lewis II has passed away. I believe that happened, or the third. I think that was his name, and I think he passed away recently.
Okay.
Yeah, last year.
Not to discredit Deion Sanders, but a huge part of his success is how good Shedeur Sanders is.
Yeah, I get it. There is no potential top five pick in the draft that is Ray Lewis's son.
Yeah. Okay.
Or plays quarterback, so
then
he'll need his
Travis Hunter. Is there a? Is there a guy that is a five super five star?
Is Ray Lewis going to have some 5-star commit to Miami and then steal him days before signing day to come to his school and screw over his alma mater like Deion Sanders did?
And have the Twitter spaces for fire Mike Norvell, which, by the way, fire those back up.
Mike Norvell will get another year at least because he convinced people that Alabama wanted him. So he got his contract extension. Have some foresight, everyone. If your head coach is only good when one player is available to play, maybe wait until that player loses eligibility and then see. Jordan Travis was the only reason Mike Norvell, only reason is strong. He got Jared Verstaer, Brandon Fisk, the two Rams rookie defensive linemen. He did recruit those guys. But if not for Jordan Travis, Mike Norvell is already fired from Florida State. Instead, he gets a new deal. Now they're stuck with him, which is great if you hate them. And now he has to rebuild again.
Yeah. If it wasn't for Jordan Travis, you know, Mike Norvell would be interviewing for the FAU job against Ray Lewis.
Yes. And people down there would go, hey, do we want the FSU washout or the guy who's never done it before?
We already tried Willie Taggart. We tried
the Texas washout. Let's try the FSU washout.
And Willie Taggart.
Another FSU washout. Hey, we've already done that. Let's see if the guy who's never coached before can get better results. Eric, I see you. You want to talk NBA. Anyone else want to get in, you can. 713-780-3776. There is a non-surprising story about Alex Bregman that we'll get to as well. Surprisingly, or not so surprisingly, the prospect of him returning to the Astros, at least according to MLB execs, isn't likely. So we'll get to that in a little bit. But Eric is what we will get to and who we will get to when we come back.
You're listening to the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
Let's get to Eric here, and then I'll let you know how you can get a shot at winning Usher tickets. Yes, that Usher. Let it burn, Usher. Caught up, Usher. That Usher.
Usher.
If you want to be disrespectful, sure. Usher. Usher. Let's get to Eric. What's up, Eric?
Hey, Doug. Do you think they should do away with the NBA season in tournament? I think they should.
Why do you Hold on. Why do you think they should?
It doesn't do anything for the game. It's just, you know, a fake championship is what I call it. It's kind of like a preseason championship. I like, you know, I'm old school. I like the regular, you know, NBA season. And then have the real champion crowned in June.
Okay. I'll answer that. What's your other one?
Am I a fat kid and superhero movies or TV shows so annoying? The fat kids that try to act tough. They should not be on the screen. And what's your favorite Usher song? Gonna Make Love in This Club? I hang up to listen.
So did he ask me why are fat kids and superhero movies so annoying and should they be on the screen? Is that what he said?
Oh, well, he said they shouldn't be on the
screen. They shouldn't be on the screen.
He should not watch the movie Heavyweights.
Is that a superhero movie?
In a way.
Okay. I don't take issue with, as you say, fat kids on television. They don't annoy me in superhero movies. I don't think they should be banned from being on television or in movies. That's your opinion. I understand. You have every right to that. It doesn't bother me. Kids in movies generally are annoying. It has nothing to do with weight of the child.
I've told you that I don't like movies where kids are like the protagonists and save the day.
Well, yeah, I won't watch them.
Yeah, I'm like, surely somewhere down the line, an adult would step in and like actually.
Yeah, you have to suspend disbelief to watch this kid save the world. Yeah. Like in The Last of Us, the TV show, she is being mentored by an adult, and she's not even like a kid. She's probably about 15, 16. So I may be able to buy a teenager can shoot zombies and stuff. But even that one's not even about killing zombies. It's like fighting against human beings and what they want to do to you. But hey, watch Last of Us, good show. Season 2 comes out next year. But his other thing about the in-season tournament, I don't mind it. In fact, it appears that the players care more. They try more. I mean, even in games and blowouts, they will still keep putting up shots because they know the score, the differential in points matters. It doesn't bother me. But then again, I'm a person who likes international soccer, and there's always a different tournament going on during the middle of a regular season.
Yeah, it's like, I mean, what, the NBA Cup, like, that cheapens the beauty of November 19th yeah. basketball? Like,
yeah.
Like, what are we talking?
I don't know.
Ruining?
We're not ruining anything. Maybe you don't like the gimmicky courts, or you don't like the fact that the semifinalists wind up in Vegas. I don't know. I mean, it's still regular season basketball, just with an added thing to it.
Yeah, and no one's like, you know, the Lakers actually had a super successful season last year because they won the in-season tournament.
Yeah.
Like, no one says that.
For this to matter, it'll be like 30 years of it. And if the games and people continue to care about them, then we'll start to talk about the NBA Cup as something that matters. But now it's just a couple extra games for the teams who play well in those group games. And it's fine. The court's different. Sometimes the uniforms are different. It's whatever. Speaking of courts, the Rockets are unveiling the court and the uniforms that honor the championship from 1994. And I believe they're honoring that team. At least we were texted by someone. I don't know if they know, but they appear to know that they're honoring that team tonight as well. So the Rockets, you'll see new uniforms, a new court, and it'll invoke memories of 1994. You can check that out on Space City Home Network, or maybe go to the game.
Except these Rockets don't make threes.
They probably make as many, but they take...
They take way more.
Yeah.
Mario Ellie isn't walking through that
they
door.
They don't shoot him at the same percentage as that team did.
Mario Ellie might actually be literally walking through that door, but
yeah,
he might be as a 50-year-old man.
Yeah. Hakeem hopefully is there. Kenny Smith, it's not a TNT night, so maybe Kenny Smith is there. Who knows? Sam Cassell has a job, so I'm not sure if he's going to be able to be there. He is a coach, an assistant. You think that's enough of a reason to get away?
Skip. It's not even an NBA Cup night, so
he
game doesn't matter.
The Celtics played last night. He's an assistant there, so maybe he can be here.
Yeah, come on.
Maybe. I don't know. Joe Mazzulla's kind of nuts, so who knows if he'll let him come, if he wanted to come, if that's even a thing. I know.
Why do you want to go to the enemies?
He doesn't even like his former assistants who are now coaches hugging him. I don't even talk to him. He's the enemy. He's got some mind control over me because he came in and gave me a hug. If you don't
he's going to look for psychological tells.
Yeah. If you don't know, the Charlotte coach, Charles Lee, last name Lee, he used to be one of the assistants for Joe Mazzulla. And Joe Mazzulla didn't want to talk to him, didn't like that he came in and hugged him.
He was the assistant for Joe Mazzulla 4 months ago.
Yes.
they won a championship.
Yeah, Joe Mazzulla hasn't been a head coach for that long. So, yes, you are right. That's a recent departure. They were working together to go win a title. But now, that man cannot get a psychological advantage on him. So no hugs, no talking. And the fact that you did hug me without my consent means you may have something over me now. That's the guy who apparently can win a championship. Maybe it's not that hard to win one in basketball.
Is this why you're anti-hug?
No, I don't think people get a psychological advantage on me. I just don't like rant. I don't want you touching me. I don't know. Why? What for?
Okay. No, I just...
No, I'm not... This is not me now berating you for questioning. This is me going through all the reasons why I think it's dumb. Okay. Yeah. Yeah, relax,
Last
man.
Last time I asked a question.
Hey, calm down, Mazzulla.
Yeah. Joe Mazzulla would be awesome at hosting a radio show.
Nothing would be... But the problem is he wouldn't think anything is funny.
That would make it so great. The fact he's being so sincere all the time.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Why are you laughing? What are you laughing about?
What am I, clown?
Yeah.
Does the Goodfellas thing?
Yeah.
The thing is, I don't know. Normally, I would be like, this guy's obviously playing into the character of every answer is basically a parody of
the
what
most
you think.
Ridiculous thing you could say. Yeah, you think everything is him, you know.
Like playing into what you think of him.
Yeah, what you think of him. Him leaning into everything you think about.
But he does such a good job at it that I think he's actually just...
I think he's just
guy. He's just a psycho.
And if this is something where he's just doing an Andy Kaufman thing and coaching a team to another title...
That's incredible.
Congratulations, man. You are far more talented than I thought.
He should honestly be an actor.
They used to call him Second Row Joe. He was so far down the pecking order of that Ime Udoka staff. He wasn't even on the front row coaches. He was in the back with the other guys, sitting with the
laptop.
Yeah, checking to see if there are challenges necessary. He was one of those guys. Now he's a defending champion, and they upset. They beat the undefeated Cavs last night.
It was an upsetting group play.
Yes, the Cavs.
It was a must-win game.
It was a must-win for the Celtics to go to, you know, maybe go for the double since we're doing the soccer thing. The double win the NBA Cup and then win the NBA title.
And for half the guys on the team, it would be the treble with the Olympics.
Not Jaylen Brown, though, who's still upset.
That's all right.
He's getting in fights with Nike on social media, too. If you missed that, Jaylen Brown called Giannis a child a couple weeks ago. And then when Giannis had a big game, the Nike basketball account said nothing childish about that. And then Jaylen Brown quote tweeted it and called them weird or something. I forgot exactly what he wrote. But so that is going on. That seems healthy to be fighting the social media account. Some nameless admin. It's
some
like
22-year-old.
Yeah, it'd be like fighting Sam. Jaylen Brown would take issue with the Sam of Nike basketball.
I would be on his side with that.
Understood. I agree. I mean, but as a champion, all-star, and very rich man, maybe find your petty in other places. I understand petty, but maybe find it in other spots.
Not with the social media manager, yeah.
Yeah, find it someplace else. Maybe you can have that conversation with an actual Nike executive. He's in a spot where he could actually have that conversation.
But that executive, you know, Phil Knight's cousin or whatever.
You think it's all about nepotism at Nike?
I don't know. We'll just be like, I don't know, that's what our 25-year-old.
No, I'm not talking about even that particular comment, but he has an issue with Nike beyond that. He thinks they kept them from being in the Olympics. You want to have that conversation with them? I understand, but the social media manager just following, hey, Jaylen Brown doesn't like us. We don't like him. Let me type something that's funny. What are we doing?
I kind of wish the Nike basketball or whatever would have gone back at him again. Don't let it die.
Yeah, work on that left hand.
Yeah.
Something. Sorry.
What's your career high?
Sorry, I only talk to Olympians. See how he handled that. Eric, you want to clarify? You can clarify with Sean if you want. The other thing he asked me about, what did he say, my favorite Usher song? I like Let It Burn. I don't know if it's my favorite. I don't think I have a favorite Usher song, but he has so many hits. And speaking of that reminds me, if you want a chance to see Usher at Toyota Center, you have to be ready at 11 and go follow the ESPN 97.5 account on Instagram. You have to follow and share a post. Well, you obviously have to follow the account, like and share the post, and it gives you a chance to win the tickets to Usher next week, next Wednesday at NRG, that Wednesday before Thanksgiving. You want to see Usher, this is your opportunity. Follow the account if you don't already. Like and share the post at 11, and that'll give you your chance. And if you don't win, blame Sam. She's handling all of that.
Yeah, blame Sam. Sam also wants to let it be known that the concert's at Toyota Center.
Toyota Center. There. You Usher at Toyota Center. You want to see Usher and maybe be called up on stage if that's your thing?
Oh, yeah.
Or your girl might be called up on stage.
Yeah, I was going to say it's more likely for...
Well, I don't know who's listening.
Yeah, depending, our demographic, yeah, it's more likely.
That your girl will be called up on stage, yeah, or Usher will sing to her if he comes out and does some crowd work. If you want that as part of your Wednesday before Thanksgiving...
The day before Thanksgiving, if you want Usher to sing to your
girl. If you want Usher to seduce your woman, follow, like, and share. 11 o'clock, ESPN 975 on Instagram. So there that is. Okay. We will get out of here for this segment, and then when we come back, we're giving away things. I'm going to give you a chance to go watch the Cougs on Saturday against the Baylor Bears. We'll do that when we come back.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios is the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now back to Del Olalea.
Eric did clarify with Sean off air. He doesn't like Little Oz from The Penguin, and he doesn't like, I forgot his character's name, but the big kid from original Deadpool 2, was it? Or the original?
Yes, Deadpool 2.
Deadpool 2. Okay. But he does like big kids in non-superhero movies.
Yes. Heavyweights, which was mentioned. Sandlot. There's another one I forgot.
Yes. Just keep them out of his superhero
movies.
Oh,
Little Big League.
I don't even remember the big kid in Little Big League. Sorry. But keep him out of superhero movies and he's good. He doesn't want a plucky big kid solving any crimes or saving the world. But moving on from Eric, if you want a chance to watch the Cougs in their final home game, now's your chance. Caller 5 right now, 713-780-3776. Wins a pair of tickets to the Cougs versus Baylor Bears at TDECU at 6. It's senior day. It's the Houston Blue game. So if you want to see those Houston blue colored jerseys up close and personal, now's your chance. Caller 5, 713-780-3776. The tickets start at just $15 if you don't win them from us. We are going to be giving away tickets all throughout the week on the station, so you'll have more opportunities. But if you don't get them from us, $15 for the tickets. You just go to uhcougars.com/tickets or call 713-GO-COUGS. They want you to come early, be loud, and wear blue as they pack the stadium for their final home game of the season. They're celebrating the seniors. The first 20,000 fans will receive a Houston Blue Rally towel compliments of Ford, Bud Light, UHAA, and ConocoPhillips. And remember, the Houston Blue uniforms will be on display. Check them out. I'm sure if you guys haven't already gotten your Houston Blue, whether it be shirts or jerseys or hats, they're out. They're going to be for sale. I know that's a big thing for people. You're a Cougs fan or you just like the color of that uniform and it'll have Houston written on it. That might just be what it's all about for you. Those are available now as well. So Cougs, Baylor, the Cougs try to close out their home schedule with the win. And they've been feisty. Didn't go well in their last game, but they have turned it around compared to the first half of the year under Willie Fritz. And that was what you kind of expected. He's a program builder and they've had wins over ranked teams. So I would say overall, this season has been a success. It's been patchy at times. We had the two games where they didn't score a point, which ain't great. But they went on the road and beat TCU, had a couple big home wins. And I think Willie Fritz will be one of those guys where Houston fans are like, hey, you know what happens to all our other coaches when they leave? Bad things. So you should stay. And they do have the benefit of being in the Big 12, which might be something that keeps him around once he gets this thing turned around. So check him out in their final game at home in Willie Fritz's first year. And as I said, this station will be giving away tickets throughout the rest of the week. And it's about that time, almost 11. So if you want those Usher tickets, remember, go to the 97.5 Instagram account. Follow it if you haven't already. Like and share the post. And you have a chance to go watch Usher next Wednesday at Toyota Center here. Let him serenade your girl. Let him get your girl up on stage, whatever. Or if maybe you're the girl.
Yeah, if you want to be serenaded.
Yeah, this is your opportunity. I think we're going to have people going to that concert. At least that's what I was told.
Oh, yeah. There'll be 97.5.
It won't be
representatives.
Yeah, I don't know if it'll be a 97.5 night.
Oh, they won't be representing the company.
No, they will just be going to the
event. Which is good.
Yeah. There will be some people just excited to go see Usher, and they're going to go.
Yeah.
I will not be among those people. I'll be at home, like, getting the yams prepared and getting the mac and cheese prepared.
Yeah, I'll be, I think, spiritually, not physically, but spiritually, as far away as you can be from an Usher concert. I'll be at my 8-year-old grandmother's house.
Yeah, that's pretty much as far away.
She might want to be serenaded.
Just play Caught Up on your phone and see if she starts singing along.
I don't think she
you
will.
You never know.
I you know what? I don't ever know.
you will never ever know because you are never testing this.
Do you have any confessions?
Hey, Grandma. Actually, you know what? I don't want to hear him.
Yeah, actually.
I don't want to hear him. So there that is. Hey, he's a big name act, and I'm sure a lot of people are going to be excited to be there. Hopefully, you'll have the chance to get there thanks to us. Okay, hour one is done. We'll get to the Alex Bregman article as far as how MLB execs think this is going to go for the Astros. And I have a question for anyone listening. Certainly, we'll talk about it as well regarding this Astros run. Because I was starting to compare their runs to, well, a run that's going on right now for an NL team who happened to just win a World Series. And they operate in different ways, which is why maybe the Dodgers run will last. and the Astros run may be coming to an end here very shortly. We'll talk about that when we come back.
Hey, it's Ryan Seacrest here, and I have discovered a fun new escape from the daily grind, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has hundreds of social casino-style games as all free to play anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So get to chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.